At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Hour number two coming up. We're going to go right back to our guest, Hugo Perez, who has been the coach of El Salvador, has worked in the U.S. youth system as well. And Hugo, as we left, we were talking about D.C. United. It was an opportunity you had down there. I believe their general manager, Ali Mackay just got let go down there at DC. So, you know, my question to Hugo before we went to break was, why haven't you ever gotten the MLS opportunity? So I'll let you carry on.
Yeah, look, I think it has to do with certain things that I just mentioned. One is when I was working with U.S. Soccer, there were people there that basically we didn't see football things, you know, the way they were supposed to be. So I brought some questions up. And then also I work as a technical advisor for the West Coast in the academies, and obviously my job was to evaluate players, coaches, their programs. And to be honest with you, at that time, a lot of the MLS programs were not good. So I had to, you know, be honest about them. And some of those clubs called the federation and said, look, this guy is giving us trouble. You know, he's always negative on this and that.
So isn't that the problem we have? People can't be honest and say things honestly without somebody getting mad and then trying to go and obstruct a career or assassinate a character. How are we ever going to get better in this country if we don't put things on the table and expect to debate and talk about them instead of trying to control the narrative constantly or just say, hey, if you don't agree with me, I'm walking the other way.
And Glenn, again, I mean, I would have to say, and people that know me, I was always very front, honest, respectful. But there were things that you cannot go alone because, you know, you're trying to do something different, trying to make sure that the program gets to the highest level. And we ran into certain things, and they let me go. But to finish the story, and this United, which is, for me, it's unbelievable. And you know, Glenn, look, I coached the national team, El Salvador, for 2 years, all right?
Yep.
We hadn't gone to an hexagonal for 12 years, okay? 12 years. When I got there, the president told me, you need to put us in the final round. We haven't done it for 12 years. And he said to me, look, the players that we have are not very good for international level. But if you put us in there, you would help us a lot. So anyway, we built a team, and you know and I know, I played the U.S., four times, two at home, two away. And with the players I had, and I always put this because this is a story I always tell. One of the games, I put a sheet of paper in front of the door of our players. And in that sheet of paper, the information was the U.S. national team, what is 23 players, are worth more than $250 million. We put that. Our players are worth less than $5 million. That's it. Mm-hmm. But we're going to compete against them. We're going to play football, and we're going to show them that we can play against anybody when you prepare them well. And we did. Now, going back, I said, you know, if I demonstrated that I can compete against the U.S. with all those superstars that they had at that moment, at that time, I mean, I know I can work in the MLS with any club. And I would probably at least make him better, play more football, develop players, bring up young players to the club. But nobody's giving me a chance, to be honest with you. And when I went to D.C., I was disappointed because, I'll be honest with you, Glenn, I think it was a setup when they sent me there. Because MLS has a protocol, okay, that they have to interview minorities.
Yeah,
you know
of
that.
Course. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I get there, and I'm there, and I'm, you know, I get to D.C., and I find out when I'm in the hotel that the owners are not showing up, okay? They're going to do an interview on Zoom.
Oh, geez.
Okay? And one of the owners lives.
That's a disgrace.
Okay? Lives in Washington.
Oh, that's bad.
So I get the interview on Zoom, okay? Do the interview, I explain to them what I could do, what I could bring to D.C. You know, D.C. United was one of the best MLS clubs when it began. Yeah. We had a lot of people that, you know, Raul Díaz had played there. A lot of Salvadorians were, you know, following that team. Now it's been years. They don't want to know anything about D.C., the way they run it. But it was so disappointed to the point that the next day I spoke to this guy, Ali. You know, I said, look, this is what I can offer you. I made my presentation and everything. Came back home. I never got a call to say, look, thank you for coming. This is why we, you know, choosing somebody else. This is what we like. This is what we don't like. Never, never. Okay. So that showed me that it was just a setup for them to say, yeah, you know, we interview a minority guy. Mm. And he was so disappointed that, to be honest with you, I said, okay, that's fine. You know, if that's the way that the league is going to work, I can't do anything. You know, my work, I showed it when we play against the U.S. I know I can work here, but again, it's their decision. I was so disappointed that I said, maybe people don't want me to work here. You know, I'm going to have to go and look for something else. And that's the story.
He's Hugo Perez. He's played on two U.S. World Cup teams. He's been working. He worked in U.S. soccer with the under-15s. Excellent coach. All right, so let's go back to player development right now. Obviously, people talk the cost, the barrier to entry. You've already mentioned missing talent. There is an equity gap, obviously, from an accessibility standpoint. And I see that now the MLS Next programs are even growing in size with more and more players with three teams now. I mean, three teams, that has to be simply about registrations and dollars, right?
Look, I can tell you about the MLS Next because my son used to work at Chicago Fire. Mm-hmm. And so that means I used to watch all the games. The league, it's for me, it's a developmental league, okay? But I don't know if that is the league that is going to help our players get into the first team, okay? They have a lot of players who are older. They have players that I don't think they're going to make the first team. They have them there because they're giving them home contracts, homegrown contracts.
So No. I was talking about the MLS Next teams, the youth teams. So here in Houston, we have Rangers here, and we have GFI here in Houston to go along with the Dynamo. Now, the idea is you push the talent from those teams to the Houston Dynamo, which I know the Rangers are doing because I know Josh Gardner. I'm not sure if GFI is doing that to the same level, but that's kind of the idea. But I'm now noticing that, you know, they're going to have a third team on these MLS Next things, which that to me just says, you know, we're just looking for registrations. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, talking about that, look, Glenn, at the end, you can have three teams in the MLS Next, but we go back to the point. Who is scouting kids to bring to those teams? And also, I think each club in the MLS has their own philosophy of what type of players they want, what type of players they're choosing. But at the end, it reflects the whole league, the MLS, doesn't it? Okay? Because if you're seeing less creative players in the MLS and more athletic players in the MLS, that means that, I guess, the focus when you're choosing players to come to those MLS next programs are not the type of players that you, as a, I would have to say, technical director or whoever's in charge of the academies, you're missing, the target, because maybe that's not the philosophy that the club wants, okay? Yeah. But then it's going to hurt the national team because we're not producing and we're not developing those type of players. So it all comes down. It doesn't matter how many programs you have. I don't know if those programs are going to be free for the kids, okay? But if you're not choosing the players that football has a foundation. And if you talk to some of the best coaches in the world, you talk to Bielsa, Scaloni, they're going to tell you that soccer will always be about talent and creative players. The rest, you can work with them. You can work on speed. You can work on more muscle buildup. But that creativity and the technical part, you have to get those kids who are talented at the young ages. And when they get to this MLS club, identify them, completely identify them, give them special work. Don't just put them generally to train with everybody. No. If I'm the technical director, I say, look, this kid is very good. He's talented. This is why we need to develop more for him. Yeah, he's going to work with, with one age or two ages, but we have to give him something extra every week to get him better. So in 5 years, I want this kid to be playing in the first team as a starter.
Let me break in, Hugo, because I want to remind people we're talking to Hugo Perez here, big-time in youth development, coached El Salvador's national team, also was an excellent player, one of the more creative. He was in the vein of Tab Ramos, Claudio Reyna, as one of the most highly technical players produced in the U.S. Hey, I want to ask you simply about, are the youth players now overcoached? You could break it up tactically and technically, but do you think, do we have too much overcoaching now? Are we too, where do you see that now in the youth community?
Yeah, we're not giving the freedoms to the kids who are talented to express themselves in the football pitch. It's too many, I would have to say, too many tactical exercises, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to do tactical exercises, and I'm going to give you an example, and I know you mentioned this. When we were with the national team, with under-40s and under-15s, that group, McKinney and all those kids, the first thing we did was to make sure that every session that we were going to do, okay, was going to enhance the individual play of the players we were bringing for the national team program, okay? And I remember the first time I had a meeting with this kid, and I said, look, we're going to change the way we play football in America. I said, we're not going to play long balls, okay? We're not just going to go crash at people, slide. I said, no. We're going to want the ball. We're going to play with the ball. And I need the goalkeeper and the rest of the players to be good with the ball. And every exercise, I said, and every session that we do is going to have to do with you guys being better with the ball and having confidence to play with the ball and not to worry about making mistakes.
So, Hugo.
And that's how we did it.
Okay, so hold up right there. Was that a directive from above you? At U.S.
No,
soccer,
was
or
me.
Was that your own directive? Okay,
no,
that's very important. That's very important. That's very important in this entire discussion.
No, that was with me because the way they used to do it before, with all respect, whoever was there before, we were not really doing anything for those kids. So when we started, we changed the whole thing. Okay, and if you look at every session we did, everything was with the ball. But also, making sure that these guys, who we only had them for 9 days at a camp, they would get the most work and confidence in their individual play, okay, which for us was first, because they want to go up to the other ages, and then collectively everything with the ball, to make sure that they would love to play with the ball without, we didn't give them, I'll be honest, we didn't give them any rules. The only rule we gave them probably was, don't lose the ball. And if you lose it, go get it so we can get it back and have it and play. That was the rule we gave them. And we knew, and we had to make sure those kids understood that those sessions were for them, so they could get better every time they came with us. And that's how we did it.
There's so many different standards of coaching and competition in this country. You know, MLS Next, ECNL, USYS. I mean, on and on we go with all of this. It makes it very confusing for people. But I think we're going to let Ugo go, because he's given us three really good segments tonight. Ugo, this has been really interesting. I mean, I swear we could do an entire 2 hours. I mean, there's so much more I want to ask you. So we're going to give you a break, and maybe we're going to ask you back down the road again, okay?
No problem, Glenn. We're always it's always great to talk about football. Thank you for the time. I'm going to tell you something, Glenn. I wish that in the future, the things that we've talked about, people who are in charge of football in this country would take a look, okay, and process this and make sure that they have the right people working in all these programs. So that way our country could become an elite country and producing developing players, and our players playing in some of the best leagues in the world.
Ugo, thank you for coming on. Great interview. Thank you so much, and continued success, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you, Glenn. Take care. Bye.
All right. That's Ugo Perez. U.S. national team went to 2 World Cups. We had him on Destination 2026, which will be on tomorrow. Work with Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic. You know, look, that's an honest, real interview. And, you know, I look at Brooklyn Reigns from the Dynamo, and the Dynamo did a great job giving him a chance and a run of games this year. And after three games in MLS this year with Brooklyn Reigns, you could just see him growing in confidence, right? So now we're at the point where, okay, now we want him hitting more, you know, passes that break lines. He's beginning to do that. That's got to be done with more local Houston kids, not just somebody you bought and brought in. That's a great story. Maybe the best story of the year for the Houston Dynamo, for all I know. We are going to talk from Dynamo next. They took on Colorado. Their next game is Portland Saturday at home. HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. That's real interviews. Okay, it's politics in the game in this country. We know it. Game is driven by money. We know it. And still, there's so much good about the game. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Cactus Musical, like this song. It's Johnny Winter, All Tore Down.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Name of the band is London Beat. Very cool song. I've been thinking about it. Big 80s. My producer, A.J. Russ, wasn't even born yet. He's shaking.
No, sir. No.
By the way, you just tried Slip Sliders. What'd you think?
Really, really good. I love the chicken one. Can't wait to try more.
Yeah, you're going home with kind of a variety package.
Awesome.
I knocked my favorite, the Shrimp Shack, down. We're talking about Slip Sliders, new restaurant that's opened on Bins. They're also one of our sponsors. We're going to talk about them in the final segment as well. We're going to go over that menu because, well, who doesn't like sliders, first of all? Second of all, when it comes to sliders, Slip Sliders has got so many different varieties. I was just looking at the fried chicken one, too. They have Caribbean chick. I mean, they just got a mix of so many good ones. I got to work my way through the entire menu. But they're at 1802 Bins. They're one-of-a-kind sliders. Different flavors, as mentioned, cuisines, ingredients. They use beef, chicken, pulled pork, vegan. The thing that I like about it is made to order. Made to order. Down in the museum district. You get in quick and you get out, or you can eat there. Really clean, nice, open, really inviting place to go. Bright. Couple of my favorites, Caribbean Chick, Backyard Burger, Swiss Miss. Again, it's Slip Sliders, 1802 Bins. And they've got a crazy list of differing types of sliders down there in the museum district. So you go to the museums and then you kind of roll over there, get a little lunch, and then you go back to another museum. That's how you do it. And U of H students, this is brain food for you. I like that. See, that I need more improvisation. It's like our U.S. national team. We need more of that, AJ. Okay. All right. I got to get my next guest on. We're going to switch the talk here now to the Houston Dynamo. He is Federico DeMichelis. He joins us now. Federico, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn. How you doing?
Very good, Federico. All right. Let's get into some Dynamo talk here tonight. I don't know if you got to hear the Hugo Perez interview. I thought that was a pretty enlightening interview. A lot going on in that one with player development in this country, his career, Christian Pulisic, and on.
Yeah. And it's exactly what we talk about so much, you know, when we talk about academies and we talk about the way that we coach our players. And I love what he said about, you know, what this is about finding that talent. You know, with the rest of the kids, you know, you can work a team. You know, there are things that you can work on, speed, muscle, this, that, whatever. But the talent, you can't find, you know. So that is where we have to focus. You know, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, that natural inclination. All right, Dynamo 2-1 went down late. 10th minute, it was Cole Bassett off a free kick. Then Andrade, who, by the way, the Dynamo have purchased Felipe Andrade, so he's coming back after being on loan. I think let's just start with that. I think Felipe Andrade earned that contract, didn't he?
Absolutely. I think he's been one of the best guys that we brought in, if not the best. He's shown, you know, not only good playing, but also commitment, I think, with the team, even in the moment that we're in right now.
Yeah, it's kind of made us forget a little bit about the injured Franco Escobar as well. By the way, the Houston Dynamo were 8-13-9. So Bassett off the free kick. I want to go back to the free kick because I just thought it was a very loosely defended free kick, honestly. I think people switched off. We laid a guy down behind the wall, but the wall doesn't jump. So what's the point? You know, if you're going to lay the guy behind a wall, then the entire wall needs to make itself bigger and jump because you know you're protected underneath with the guy laying on the ground. So that didn't make sense to me. I also don't know how it was bent around the wall. We didn't get another good look at it, but that was the opening goal for Colorado in the 10th minute, Federico.
Yeah, you know, it makes you think. So I thought about the same thing. You know, if you're going to put someone on the ground, then, you know, the wall has to jump. That's, you know, 101. We all know about that. But then the other thing that I was wondering is exactly that. You know, where did Bond place exactly the wall? You know, did he bend it that well, or were we just not focused? You know, was there not enough communication between Bond and the wall?
Yeah, because it wasn't hit high. It was hit at a length that if there was an additional guy on the end of the wall, they may have blocked it.
Yeah, I did see in the replay that Bond reacts a little bit late. I think he didn't see the ball. He didn't see the play until it was a little bit too late. In any case, you know, well executed by them. But I'm pretty sure it could have been better defended. I think we talked about this too. You know, what is it that the Dynamo work on during the week? You know, at this point, who knows? But it would have been nice to see a little bit more work in the set pieces in general, I think.
All right, so they get the winner from Paxton Aronson. It ends up being an old goal off Andrade, but he comes to the near post. I didn't think the Dynamo protected the near post very well at that point. Now, they were exhausted. They were probably whacked by the altitude, but the near post on that corner was not protected well enough.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. You know, what I got more upset with, other than the set piece itself, was the you know, if you go back a little bit in the game, I think in the minute 95, 96, Sinelli receives a very deep pass on the left side of the attack. And, you know, he has teammates in the box. There is a possibility to either control the game or to attack in a better form. And he does, you know, something that he's done so well and also so bad at the same time, because he's been irregular in that, in trying to dribble a little bit too much. And he loses that ball. And from there, you know, they get a counter and they get that corner kick. I did see, I have to say, at this point, a little bit frustration from his teammates in a couple of situations, even though he did the play for, you know, the assist for McLean and everything. And even though how necessary he is, you know, we know that we need a player like that. We just heard about, you know, Ugo talking about the same thing. You need dribblers. You need people that will take defenders on. But you also have to be smart, you know, and you have to have someone that guides you and that teaches you when to release the ball. And I think we need to see a little bit more of that from Anali. That was the root of that counter that led to the goal.
Yep, we forget when things happened prior. Now, going back to the goal, I did like the fact that he can show a defender that he can go both right and left, and then he just hung it up at the back post to give Jack McGlynn time to get there.
Yeah, that was very smart. It was not only the way that he took on the defender, but also the way he chipped it over. You know, he had it in his head before he started the play. It was a good goal, and I was happy for both of them. You know, they are the two players that make the difference in this team, I think.
No, they really do. I mean, they are the two biggest attacking pieces on this team, bar none. I mean, Bossy has kind of faded out of the picture. You know, when we look at this fight in the West, we got to remind ourselves, Real Salt Lake has two games in hand. Dallas has one game in hand. That made that result even more difficult. San Jose is currently occupying the ninth spot, and the Dynamo are behind RSL and Dallas. And I think Austin right now is a little bit above San Jose, and if they were to nosedive here. But, you know, it's only a handful of games to go here. Do any of these teams really deserve to make the playoffs? And I say this respectfully, and I say it with the understanding of what the playoff system is here. But I put something up today, and it's had 33,000 views and a lot of great commentary from a lot of great fans, a lot of intelligence stuff, just about this whole 18 teams makes the playoffs and how in some ways it might be unhealthy. I know everybody likes it because it keeps you involved. But really, what merit does San Jose, Real Salt Lake, Dallas, and the Dynamo really have to grab a playoff spot?
Yeah, and not only what merit do they have, but also what good does it do to the team, to the club, and to the culture in general, you know? We've talked about this too, and, you know, I've spoken with the fans, you know, would making the playoffs save the season, you know? Is it actually a good thing for the Dynamo to make the playoffs this season? You know, I don't know.
Well, how do you save a season? You've had a bad home record. That's not going away. I mean, just by making the playoffs, we're going to forget about everything that's happened over the course of all these months. I mean, look, every game that the Dynamo walk out on that field is an opportunity to earn more fans and to create something better. So I don't know how, for me, I'm not raining on anybody's parade, but to make the playoffs now, I mean, I don't know. I know that's the objective in this league. I know it's, you got to be one of 18, but I don't want the narrative to change that. A lot of things need to change, I think, both on the competitive side and I think also in the front office, you know, to get a more consistent season, to win at home. You got to win at home and score goals at home if you want people to come watch your game in 90 degrees.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And also, you know, you keep hearing this from, you know, whenever they put a statement out or whatever, you know, it would be the third time in a row that we make the playoffs after so many years and this and that. And, you know, you can dream with the underdog you know, figure and try to aim at that and whatever. That's not the situation here, you know. Houston is not an underdog. Houston is just a team and the club is just not doing things in the best way that they could, you know. So making the playoffs would definitely not erase what's happening right now in the club. Now it puts you and me as a supporter, you know, in a difficult situation because you want your team to win. But sometimes, you know, not winning might be the best option. You know, I mean, you gotta do something to improve seriously.
Well, Alex,
you know?
Yeah, I saw somebody, and we're talking to Federico Di Michelis, correspondent at Soccer Matters, does a great job talking with fans and has a good take on the game, and we just love talking about the game and the passion of it. And you can call in, by the way, 713-780-3776 if you've got any take on anything from tonight. But I would just say, you know, Federico, it's a bit of a tough situation. Some of the data from the game, 56% of the possession to Colorado to 43 for the Dynamo. They had 21 shots. We had 16. We had 7 on goal. The Dynamo had 5. They had 130 more passes than we did. They had 9 corners to 5. Crosses were pretty even. The Dynamo had 6 to their 5. Now, at the end of the game, I saw Ben Olsen reference the expected goals, which were high. But again, you know, we've been expecting goals for a long time. So I don't know about all that data. But this was an open game, and the Dynamo did have chances in transition in this game.
Yeah, you know, again, whenever we talk about stats, you know, I think stats are great for other things, but in this sport, other things, you know, are taken into consideration. You know, those of us that have watched a lot of it understand that stats mean not a lot. That being said, I agree. I think there were some moments where the Dynamo misread the game. You know, we could have found a better way to cool down and to try to get our way of playing, you know, a little bit better. There were some, you know, moments of nervousness here and there. But again, it was an open game. It could have gone either way. Also, Colorado, you know, it's not an easy team to beat. You know, you're there. They have great players. You know, I think it's a better rival than most of us think. You know, Cannon, Santos, Bassett, you know, it's a very good team. They have their talent. You know, MLS, that's the other thing. You know, MLS, it's hard. You know, anybody can win. Every team has their ways and their tricks and their players. And, you know, it's tricky. That being said, you know, you can't afford being in a city like Houston and being in a situation like we are right now.
Federico, let's listen to Ben Olsen. Let's play the soundbite, AJ, of Ben Olsen of the Houston Dynamo. This is post-match. This is his very first statement at the end of this one. And, of course, it's tough, right? I mean, I don't know. I hear people talking about the Copa Tejas and, hey, we're the Copa Tejas winners. And I'm just like, guys, come on. Give me a break.
Come on.
Please.
Please.
You know. So the Ben Olsen soundbite, we'll get it in a second. AJ's going to let me know when he has it. But I thought the Dynamo had some really good moments in the first half. And you know, it does seem like a reoccurring theme that during their best times, they can't produce goals. You know, and I mean, that's the way this game is. I mean, I thought in the first half they needed to produce some goals and make sure that at that point they got some of their just rewards. But look, even the Hector Herrera year in 2023, this was a team that didn't have a striker. It didn't have a goal scorer. It's Ponce now who's got 9. But scoring goals has been an issue for a number of years, and I think the Dynamo have missed the mark in that category.
Yeah, I agree. And in the second half as well, you know, there were more than one opportunity. I remember right now, just off the top of my head, McGlynn's beautiful shot in that counter pass from Ponce to the post, you know, that loose crumble in the box with the ball just bouncing, you know, on and off, and just we couldn't push it in. But they also had their chances. Like we were saying, it was an open game. You know, Bond, once again, despite, you know, that maybe miscommunication in the free kick with the wall, I think he had a good game as well. He keeps showing up. It's a very tough situation. Like you're saying, you know, whenever the Bengals are playing better, that's when they really can't just put the game in the bag and get the 3 points.
All right, Federico, let's take a listen here. This is Houston Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen.
It's a tough group to stand in front of right now because of, again, they gave each other everything and they worked their tails off tonight in a tough place. You know, with the altitude, I mean, every one of them's exhausted, and they gave, they gave what they had, and they, in some ways, they gave enough to get, you know, certainly a draw, but, you know, the expected goals here looks like we're at 2.5, but this is just how things are going for us right now, and we just got to hang in there, because we're still in it, and it's a. Another gut punch, and certainly, you know, ask about down the stretch. But when you give this team that many free kicks and set pieces down the end, it's hard. It's hard when you're fatigued here in this building, and to hold them off. Thanks.
Yeah. So there's Ben Olsen, and you know, look, the Dynamo are still potentially a playoff team. They've got a shot. San Jose, Real Salt Lake, Dallas, and the Dynamo. Although. Real Salt Lake's got two additional games in hand, and Dallas has one, so that's something you got to certainly put a circle around and look at. What else jumped out to you from that Colorado game?
I continue to like that connection between Anali and McGlynn, or McGlynn to Anali, I would say. You know, that those crosses across the pitch, I think, are something to enjoy right now, because we don't know how long we're going to have it. I keep enjoying Reigns. I think Linder had possibly the best game that he's had since his magnificent debut that we haven't seen again. It could be a good sign. You know, maybe he's finding his feet here in Houston. Maybe he's trying to adapt to that new position where he's playing now. But I saw him more comfortable. I saw him, you know, making better runs, and he even had a header that went very close. I like what he did. The other thing that I think we have to talk about, because again, as soccer people, you know, you just can't. It's just infuriating. Arthur's red card in the end. In a situation
yeah,
like this,
that's right.
Come on, man. Come on. Please. From a throwing in our favor to that completely unnecessary situation. And you lose your captain and, you know, the key piece in the midfield for your next game, you know, that's a final. Come on, man.
That's probably
just heartbreaking to see, you know.
Yeah, at this stretch of the season. So, you know, Artur's absence, it's probably Junior Urso, you would expect, along with Brooklyn Reigns.
Yeah.
So it's kind of where that goes. And it is the Portland Timbers that are up next for the Dynamo. And that's a team that's good in transition. It's a team that's – where are they in the standings here? I'm just pulling it out there. About mid-table. Let's see. Portland is actually in sixth place. They got a record of 11 wins, 9 draws, 9 losses. So they're sitting on 42 points. They still need points to secure their playoff spot. So they're going to come here with real ambition. No question about it, under the manager, Phil Neville. So that should be a good one on Saturday. They got goals from Rojas and Anthony, and they beat Portland. Portland beat the New York Red Bulls 2-1. So Portland Timbers coming to town on Saturday night. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. In the East, clinched playoff spot, Philly, Cincy, and Charlotte. So there's a big three. Philadelphia spends less on their roster than the Houston Dynamo, but that's obviously a place where they've used their academy a lot, so that's a pretty big story. Although they got smacked this past weekend, 7-0.
I haven't seen. I would have to check when was the last result like that in the MLS. It's been a while, I think.
Yeah, I mean that's the yin and yang of Major League Soccer. They had a night where they just it wasn't happening. Cincinnati's been doing well. Charlotte just came off a big win over Inter Miami. So in the East, you have the Red Bulls, Inter Miami, and Chicago fighting, and Inter Miami's playing right now against who are they playing? Oh, Seattle! It's a rematch from
Seattle.
16 days ago.
It's the continuation of the saga. It's been a good match so far. beautiful second goal, tremendous ball by Jordi Alba, and Messi somehow gets to a ball in the far post with the tip of his boot.
The GOAT is
good stuff to see. I don't really like this Miami, I have to say.
It's not
my favorite soccer playing team.
GOAT is fighting back. All right, listen, Federico, we got to go. We're going to talk some cuisine coming up in the next section. You foodies are going to want to listen to this one. Federico, thank you very much for the great analysis. We appreciate you coming on tonight, like always, and keep up the good work and get that newborn to bed.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk. Bye-bye.
All right, it's Federico De Michelis. By the way, and I've said this on this show, he is a trained professional opera singer who goes around the world with companies singing opera, okay? So nobody's ever accused me of having golden pipes. Well, he actually does. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, very passionate about that craft as well. So opera and soccer goes really well together. And so does food. And we're going to talk food next. Rashid Rafay of Slip Sliders is going to join me next, and we're going to be eating some good food, and we're going to be talking good food. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, Daspit Law Firm.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hope you've liked the show tonight. Now, as you know, I like music. I like food. Newest sponsor on this show, Slip Sliders. 1802 bins down in the Museum District. Now, these are one-of-a-kind sliders. By the way, we're sampling a whole bunch of different ones. We're going to get AJ's take, we got my take, and we got Rashid, who is the owner of Slip Sliders, here with us. Rashid, welcome into the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're glad you're here, and boy, do we like your sliders. I'm going to give a little background here. Different flavors, cuisines, ingredients, beef, chicken, pulled pork, vegan, shrimp patty. There's a whole bunch of different ones. They got great fries and onion rings, salads. Yes, they have the classic sliders, but they've got a lot of unique ones too. Global flavors, gourmet. The thing I like, Rashid, made to order. So just talk about your concept. Just speak about your restaurant. Platform's sure. Yours.
Okay, thank you. Well, you've just said it.
I'll eat.
Oh, you enjoy, please. You know, we wanted to do something that wasn't the standard franchise model. And we felt like we could really, you know, manufacture and produce good quality food in a small space format in a quick service restaurant. And we take it to the extreme. We grind our beef. We get chuck rolls in and we break them down. I do the butchering. We grind the beef daily. All the product that the prime product, all the sliders we make in-house on a daily basis, they're fresh, they're amazing. And I wanted to have a menu that appealed to more than just one crowd. Everyone thinks of sliders, they think of beef. Well, mm-hmm. We have four beef sliders, we have four chicken sliders, we've got three seafood sliders and two vegetarian sliders. And I have a list of about 50 others that I want to start to bring in on a monthly basis, called it the Slider of the Month.
I like the concept. So the one I'm eating right now is the blue cheese and
we call
fried
it the
chicken. What is this?
The buffalo and blue. So it's a fried chicken breast. It is tossed in our buffalo sauce. And we use crumbled blue cheese. We don't spare any expense. We do it right. Just classic flavors. Yeah. And brioche bun.
By the way, Slip Sliders. Yeah, brioche bun. That's key too. Slip Sliders is at 1802 Bins. So it's right down near the museums. We're munching on these. There's so many different ones. I had the Swiss Miss the other day. I was in there. Mushrooms, Swiss cheese, grilled onion. That one was off the chains.
Yeah, that was a latecomer to the menu, but it has turned out to be one of the favorites. And just a simple combination, but it always works. It's a classic.
All right, I'm pulling up your menu right now. Under beef, we got the backyard burger. We got the signature slip. We got the Swiss Miss.
Yes.
We got the hickory dickory. You got four different types of beef.
Sliders, correct. Yeah. So we're using beef chuck. Actually, it's a proprietary blend of chuck. short rib and what am I drawing a blank? What's the third type of beef? Anyway, we grind the beef and we make our patties. We're serving about 2.4 to 2.5 ounce beef prior to cooking, but it's very high quality. We don't overwork the beef so it doesn't shrivel and shrink up. Those are, I thought the first four were your classics. Of course, the backyard burger is what everyone puts on.
And we all love beef.
And, well, of course. Lettuce, tomato, pickle, onion, some mustard and mayonnaise. You see that? You get that when you're grilling on the Weber in the backyard. And our signature slip is simply our secret sauce, the slip sauce, some pickles, and some American cheese.
You got four different types of chicken: Southern Comfort, Buffalo Blue, Simple Jack. So this is what's cool. There's so many different ones, different cuisines, different ingredients. I love the Shrimp Shack. Take me into the Shrimp Shack.
So that's a shrimp cake recipe that I've had for quite a while, and it's just always been so good. And the reason I wanted to have so many different and varied options was when you're picking a large, like a massive burger, you're eating the same thing and you're getting through it, and that's great. But if here you can have four different flavors and four different bites and really kind of get a sense of, not overfilling on one thing and getting a chance to really kind of sample around. So when you're ordering from our combo meals, you don't have to order the same slider. That's kind of the value. If you want to have one beef, one chicken. Oh, and by the way, we have chicken tenders that we actually have the jumbo tenders. We take the tendon out. We marinate them. We, do the correct breading and drop them in the fryer when you get there. So, you want to do a combination, we can do what we call our mix box, which is a mix of both sliders and tenders. If you want a 2-in-1, you pick two different sliders, two sliders you want, and one tender. You get fries on the side, or if you want to change that to some onion rings or cheese fries or something of that nature, we can make that happen.
I love the fact made to order.
Yeah, that's big.
Talk about that, because not everybody wants to do that. That takes a lot of extra effort.
It does take a lot of extra effort, but it shows in the quality of the food, in my opinion. The crowd wants to go to what's fast, what's easy, and what makes money. And be honest with you, I have another operation where our chicken tenders come from a brown box made by one of the large organizations in the food industry. I won't name it in here, but they're the same tenders that you can find in just about a dozen different fast food or quick service restaurants. I mean, literally the exact same tenders. And that's boring to me. I wanted to bring something new and different, and I wanted some original food, and I want it to be good.
Well, this is not a boring menu. Backyard Burger, Signature Slip, Swiss Miss, Hickory Dickory, Shrimp Shack, Captain Jack, British Chippy, Falafala and Chill. I'm telling you, you got to go. Slip Sliders, we're certainly happy to have you on board.
Thank you for having
Rashid,
me.
And we appreciate your partnership here. AJ, real quick, give us your take.
I absolutely love the chicken slider. It was really good. I'm looking forward to eating more of it as well.
We're sending you home with a goodie bag.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, big thanks to AJ, Russ, everybody who tuned in here tonight. Big thanks to Rashid for coming in, and get down there. 1802 Bins, Slip Sliders, one-of-a-kind sliders. And I'm not kidding, though. I'm going to go eat a third one right now. And they are not small either, by the way. These are great size. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Podcast at ESPN975.com. Spotify, Apple. Don't forget tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Central Time. I got a surprise for you. It is Destination 2026. Houston's countdown to the cup. Time to eat sliders.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.